This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we're about 30 minutes away from NBA Finals Game 6. Might be the final game of the NBA season as the Oklahoma City Thunder try to close out the Pacers in Indiana at Circus Sports as we speak. Thunder 5.5-point favorites, total 222.5. All right, let's dial up Dan Karpik, VSiN's NBA player prop analyst, and we're going to preview the game tonight, get Dan's best bets on the plays. Will Hill joins the show as well tonight for the final 3 hours as we wait the NBA tip-off. So, Dan, welcome in on the Progressive Guest Line. First of all, what are your thoughts just in general going into Game 6 and how Tyrese Haliburton's injury issues might affect tonight's game?
Yeah, so hi, nice to be with you guys once again. And I kind of foresaw this kind of happening here last game. We saw how this affected him. This injury was unlike the previous one that he had. This defense really bottled him up last game. He had no field goals made. And was he going to miss this game? I thought the answer was pretty clear that that wasn't going to happen. This is the biggest game of his entire career. Will he be effective, on the other hand, I think is a completely different story. I think we saw Rick Carlisle go back to him last game when that probably should have been TJ McConnell out there, just based on how effective he was. So with that being said, heading into this game here, I think we're going to see a heavy dose of TJ McConnell, which is one of the reasons why I love his assist props tonight. I like his scoring props too a little bit. But I think he's going to be the floor general tonight. I think those Haliburton minutes are going to be a bit of a decoy out there. I think we're going to see pretty early on that he's going to be ineffective. And I think that this is actually a great opportunity for prop betting, because if Haliburton were to sit out, we would have seen pretty substantial jumps in terms of that assist prop for McConnell going from 4.5 to 5.5, probably 6.5. If Haliburton was ruled out, maybe even higher. We would see Siakam getting into a really high point totals. So I love Siakam, for example, as a scorer tonight, based on Haliburton actually getting ruled in and my assumption that he's going to be ineffective out there. With that being said, I also just have to note here quickly before we get into some other stuff, that if we see a lot of TJ McConnell, I don't think we're going to have Indy wanting to have TJ McConnell run a half-court offense against this defense. He's going to be pushing the pace. There's going to be a lot of back and forth. So I think the over, particularly in the first half and in the first quarter, are really in play here, just so we don't really talk about the blowout factor that is obvious in this game here. So that's just my first thoughts is I'm glad as a prop bettor that that Haliburton is suiting up, but I think that there are a ton of opportunities across the board here on both sides.
I agree with you. Dan Karpik with us, previewing Thunder Pacers Game 6 tonight. And let's talk about TJ McConnell here for a minute specifically, because Will and I were discussing this too. Why Tim Murray was on the show early this week when during this game as well. We kept saying, why is TJ McConnell not playing more in the fourth quarter? Haliburton's out there for 34 minutes, no field goals, 4 points. Rick Carlisle was stubborn. He stuck with his veteran, and it didn't pay off, and the Pacers ended up dropping that game. I think McConnell's got to play major minutes tonight, not just the 22 he played in Game 5. He's got to play more minutes than that. He pushes the pace. He's more effective. He's a more effective scorer. How many different ways are you going to bet TJ McConnell props tonight?
Yeah, over assists is my first instinct, and I agree with everything you just said. We saw what he could do in terms of scoring the ball. You know, he's this little diminutive dude, but he gets down into the paint. Yep. He has that little fadeaway from like 2 feet away. I'm like, how is this even going in right now? But I like over assists. I like over points. I like over points plus assists. I like over points plus rebounds plus assists. I like every combination of TJ McConnell tonight. Based on what you just said, we saw this efficiency really, really shine through with him so far in this series, just under 18 minutes a game. And he's averaged almost 9 potential assists per game in that time. So he's going to push the pace. If Indy wants to win this game, they need to push the pace and get OKC out of their comfort zone. If McConnell's running this half-court offense, primarily with Halliburton out or ineffective, they're not going to win. And I think Rick Carlisle, more than anybody, knows that. But I think that 25-minute mark, maybe even pushing 30 minutes in this game tonight, is a pretty solid assumption for McConnell.
Shop around. I always try to look for the best numbers. But again, we're talking about McConnell over 4.5 assists at minus 118, 7 or more assists at 3-1 odds, and the most assists in the game at 4-1 odds. Best bets from Dan Karpik tonight. Do we still have Will Hill? Is he still hanging around here?
I'm right here.
Will? Let's talk about Pascal Siakam, because you and I have talked about him a couple times here.
Yeah, Dan, I'll give you the floor and just, you know, try to get out your crystal ball and get inside Rick Carlisle's head. Facing elimination, Siakam's been their go-to guy. What do you think of him and any other guy whose minutes could, you know, rise or fall? Tony Bradley can come or go. Sometimes he plays a little bit, sometimes not at all. Nembhard has not been great in the series. I wonder about his minutes. Obviously, Halliburton, there's some correlation there. Take it whatever direction you go, the rest of the Pacers here, and what Carlisle might do here facing elimination.
You mentioned Tony Bradley, which just ruined me last game when he stole my man Ben Shepherd's minutes. I had over 2.5 points, and he just killed me. I love Siakam in this one here. 28 points last game. We saw that he's actually a guy that doesn't have a weakness offensively against this particular defense. No matter who they throw at him, he's able to get his own shot. And I think that's going to be a pretty big factor tonight. So I like Siakam. He went for 30 plus three games in the last series against the Knicks, en route to that MVP, that surprise Eastern Conference MVP that Halliburton thought he was going to win. But I think that he's clearly going to be the go-to guy tonight. If we look back on this game and Indy wins, it's going to be the Pascal Siakam game. I firmly believe that. With that being said, I think he's going to need someone to step up alongside him. And then that guy, I think, is going to be Benedict Mathurin. We've seen him fill it up, and this is a very volatile type of guy. We've seen him make boneheaded mistakes in this series, unfortunately, at times. But we have seen him score 27 points in 22 minutes. We've seen him score 25 points in 20 minutes multiple times in these playoffs. And I think that his ability to create his own shot, his ability to score at all levels, and with that TJ McConnell-led up-tempo offense, I think we're going to see him get a lot of opportunities running in transition tonight. And with that being said, you could really get – I laddered his points prop over at DraftKings. It got really good prices over there, all the way up to 20-plus points. I would even consider shopping around to try to find 25-plus points if you want to get real crazy. Hey, this might be the last NBA game of the season, right? But I think Mathurin and Siakam are really the two guys that I have most faith in taking the highest volume of shots for Indy here. I don't trust Nembhard. He is another option. And of course, guys like Nesmith could go off. But if when I'm putting my money on the line, I want to trust guys. And those are the two guys that I trust most.
Will Hill, Matt Eumanns here with Dan Karpik, NBA player prop analyst for VSiN. And Dan, it says play of the day Substack. Can you explain what the Substack is and how you access that? Your plays of the day. We're looking at your best bets tonight. But what is a Substack for those who may not know?
Yeah, so it's this premium email that I run over at Substack. And it's my – if I were to only make one play of the day, it's that play, simply put. So you got to pay for premium access for that. I've made it pretty cheap for all the subscribers out there, but gotten some nice early love over there and trying to build a little community. So it could be any prop, it could be any game pick, and seeing some nice early results over there. So head over to Substack. Play of the Day with Dan Karpik is the name of that. So I appreciate you allowing me to plug that.
VSiN NBA player prop analyst Dan Karpik. All right, how about Jalen Williams off a 40-point game? Will Hill and I were talking about this last hour. Do you expect some regression? Of course, he's not going to score 40 again, but how much regression tonight in game six? And what are you looking at for the Jalen Williams prop? And how about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's almost automatic to go for 30?
Yeah, SGA 30-plus, I think, is a pretty much close. I don't want to use the word lock. I never use the word lock in gambling, obviously. But, I think those two guys, when you look at OKC's side, we've seen up and down games from Chet Holmgren in this series. We've seen that upward consistency for both Jalen Williams and SGA here. In three consecutive games, I think it's 26, 27, and 40 points for Jalen Williams. He's coming into this game with a ton of confidence after that huge outburst last game. And not many people are really talking about how if he has another like 35, 40 point game, he might be in play for finals MVP. I don't think they're going to give it to him, but based on how efficient he's been, based on how he's really been taken on that Scottie Pippen role to the Michael Jordan role that SGA has, you know, those two guys are about to play the biggest games of their career. And when you think of Mark Daigneault and what his game plan is going to be, those guys are going to have the ball in their hands. So I don't think last game was really a fluke. I think we're going to see 20 plus shot attempts for both SGA and Jalen Williams. So Jalen Williams over 23.5 was what I got it at in terms of points. I do like his combo props as well. He's very quietly racked up some rebounds and assists. But I think points is what initially stuck out to me there. And then what better way, if you think SGA wasn't bothered by that talk by Nikola Jokic a little bit, what better way to close out this series than a plus 5,000 triple-double? You know, I had to put that in at the end just for fun. Maybe a little fun sprinkle to end the series here and kind of end the magical year with the MVP, the NBA MVP, the finals MVP, the championship, and that triple-double to close out the season. So I had to put that at the end. They're offering it. Maybe you throw a $5 sprinkle on.
50-1 odds on that. The rebounds are going to be the tough part for SGA to get the triple-double. Yeah. Dan Karpik, appreciate the time. Best of luck tonight, Dan.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
NBA Finals pregame show here on VSiN. We get ready for Game 6, closing in on tip-off. At VSiN, we have Will Hill and Chuck Esposito on ESPN. They have Screamin' A and Big Perk. We win. We've got the dynamic duo. Let's go out to the Progressive Guest Line right now. Chuck Esposito behind the book at the Red Rock Sportsbook. And, Chuck, what's the action looking like tonight as we get close to tip-off, Thunder-Pacers?
Kind of been what it's been for every game, Matt, and that's that we need the Thunder to win, but not cover. We've seen a lot of Pacer money line action come in, even with the uncertainty of Halliburton. That happened both on the money line and the series price. But the game falling 1-5 would be great, but we really need to keep it under. Anytime these NBA championship games have gone under, it's much better for us. But under is kind of the key to tonight's game as well. We sit at 223 right now.
Chuck, you're hearing a lot during this, you're hearing something during these finals about TV ratings being down, you know, lowest since the bubble, lowest since a couple decades ago. How has the wagering action been? Is this series being bet accordingly? Is the wagering handled down, or has it been pretty strong here throughout the first five, six games of this NBA finals?
It's still been steady, guys. I think the app is kind of the game changer. It's that so many guests have the SDN mobile app, but it's the amount of props on the app. It's the live wagering aspect on the app. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just a difference maker than what you saw in the past, even if it was more of a marquee or, you know, big city teams. I mean, overall, handle's been really good. I mean, the game itself right now, we're sitting at about 55% of the tickets on the Thunder, a 50-50 split on the money line, but the larger money line bets have come in on the Pacers, but a whopping 78% of the tickets are on the over right now. So still overall, it's been bet pretty good across the board with us.
Okay.
Chuck, take us, you know, put us in your shoes, take us behind the counter, the mechanics here of pricing Halliburton, you know, monitoring the news, trying to figure out what he's worth, how healthy he is, what's a fully healthy Halliburton, and just that whole process of evaluating the superstar or star heading into a game number six here.
Yeah, I thought all along, Will, with the extra day that he was going to play. I think there was an over-adjustment industry-wide of where we opened the game and where we ultimately went when the news first broke that he was, you know, he was nursing the injury and having the MRI. I thought it was a little bit of an over-adjustment. I mean, they've taken the Pacers on the money line in every game. They've taken them in the series. And I thought the over-adjustment caused us to really take a lot more Pacer money. I mean, so for us right now, I mean, we are clearly – Thunder fans. I mean, in the series itself, future book, Thunder is best case scenario where it wasn't quite as one-sided early on, because going into game one, there was some early money on the Pacers, but then there was a huge late push on the Thunder that pushed them up beyond where we opened them at minus $7. So I thought it was a little bit of an overreaction from our side of the counter, and we've seen the guests, even with that uncertainty, really back the Pacers in this game. It's still a very young Thunder team. We know in any series it is tough to close out and win that fourth game in the best of seven. You're asking them to do it on the road in a tough place. So, again, for me and our guys, I thought it was a little bit of an overadjustment.
Let's say the Pacers win a close game tonight. Halliburton looks relatively healthy. No major injuries on either side. What would you anticipate a game seven line being, side and total?
I think you're still going to see it probably in that 9.5 range, total wise, depending on what happens tonight. The game being in Oklahoma City, I would think it would be probably in that 225 range. That's an educated guess right now, based on what might happen tonight. But I would say probably around 9, 9.5, and 225.
Chuck Esposito, Red Rock Sportsbook Director, with us, and we're previewing Thunder Pacers NBA Finals Game 6. Chuck, here at Circa, the numbers are 5.5, 222.5. Do you have the same numbers up right now? Where do you sit on the money line price?
Yeah, no, Matt, right now we're at 6 and 223. Mm-hmm. And the money line right now is 220. So I think we're a little bit higher than Circa as far as the minus number goes. Same on the plus price right now. So that number has been steadily going down all day. And I had a conversation, like I said, with my guys on Tuesday and Wednesday. I thought that number just seems high. I didn't think that Halliburton wouldn't play. I thought he would play all along. And again, I thought it was a little bit of an overadjustment. And we've seen fairly one-sided money line and series play. On the flip side, though, they have been betting the Thunder minus the points in this game. So for us, best case, if it falls in the middle there, it's kind of a good situation and really good shape on the Thunder as far as the future book goes and to win the best of seven.
I'm with you, Chuck. I fully expected Halliburton to play tonight. It's just, how effective is he going to be? He was ineffective in game five, 34 minutes, and scored 4 points with no made field goals in that game. I just watched him jog out to the court here in the pregame, and looks like he's doing okay. So Halliburton expected to start, and we'll see how much he can produce in the first and second quarters tonight, and that'll dictate how many minutes he plays. Chuck, you mentioned something there that I talked about a lot before the series. You said the Thunder's still a young team, and I talked about that too. That's why I thought the Pacers could extend this series and push it to 6 or 7 games initially, because this OKC team had never been here and done it. They've never won it, and I didn't think they were going to steamroll the Pacers. Were you getting a lot of play on OKC at minus 650, minus 700 as a big series favorite before this started?
We were, Matt. It was kind of strange is that they were open to a $7 favorite, and the initial push was on the Pacers, and we saw that number come down. But as we approached game one, that number kind of shot back up, which I didn't think it would. I still think it's very tough for a young team, and I think going into this game six, you know, you're expected to win it now. You have a 3-2 lead. You know, worst case, game seven would be on your home court, and then you're playing against a team whose best player, you know, is a little bit banged up. So how does OKC kind of block all that out, come out and play a good game? You know, there's going to be a crowd that's into it, knowing this is their last game, no matter what, in Indy. So I just think it's a tough spot for a young team. Not saying they won't win and won't win by double digits, but I just think, again, for a very young team like OKC, it's going to be a tough push tonight, I think, to win.
Chuck, Matt and I were talking earlier, and you never want to make a bet that you don't think is going to win. That being said, I saw some 12-1 on the series price for a team that has game six at home. And then game seven, who knows? It's one game. I thought 12-1 was reasonable. Didn't end up betting it, but where are you at here with the series price, Thunder and Pacers?
It's so funny you say that, Will, because I was on the same boat as you. I kept telling my guys, I know when you penciled it out and did the math, actually it was a little bit greater than that, looking at what the Pacers would have been in game two. In game seven, if they had won this game, I think it was more like that 1250 to 13 and a quarter range. So you weren't really getting anything, but just from the naked eye and just looking at it, I mean, no one was going to bet the Thunder at 2-1. They just weren't going to do it. I thought there was just too much value on on the Pacers there, because if they win game six tonight and you're at home, anything can happen in a game seven. So I felt the exact same way as you. I kept looking at it, kept talking to my guys, going, man, it just seems too high. Now, granted, the Thunder may, again, blow them out tonight, but just looking at the game, and again, a young team being on the road in a game six, I thought it was way too high at plus 1,200.
Chuck Esposito of the Red Rock Sportsbook with us. Chuck, we wrapped up the hockey season last night. The NBA might wrap up tonight. What was your just general take on the Florida Panthers taking out the Oilers in six games, back-to-back champs in South Florida?
I thought they just had way too much depth, Matt, and I really felt that they had a huge advantage between the pipes. I said this when we talked a few days ago. I think I said it last week. You can't go into an NHL finals and play a revolving goalie. If you have two goalies, you have no goalies. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that was a catastrophic mistake on Edmonton's part. And McDavid did not have a great series. I thought Florida did a great job of kind of taking him out a bit. Just too much balance. I thought a huge advantage between the pipes, and it's not shocking that they won.
How did the book make out on that with the Panthers winning in six? Because it seemed like there was a decent amount of play on Edmonton before the series started.
There was, Matt. It was really good series-wise and future book-wise, but game six, after Edmonton let game five get away from them and played so poorly at home, mm-hmm. there was a dramatic push, I think, which we talked about the other day, yep. On Florida in game six. So the bettors were fairly one-sided. Ticket count really favored Florida, so the bettors did well on game seven, but overall series price and futures really good for our side of the counter.
Yeah, Chuck, we talked about that before the puck dropped the other night. I was even on the Panthers in game six. I was just like you. I couldn't believe how flat the Oilers were in game five, and I felt like the series ended that night.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, you get home ice back. You're in front of your home crowd, as we kind of talked about, a full country behind you inside the barn and outside and all the enthusiasm, and you really played a really bad game. Now you had to travel across country to Florida knowing the cup was in the building, and again, they came out flat. Although they made me sweat for the total, what looked like another dead under. Five goals were scored in game five in the third period. I thought we might have a repeat of that in game six, but it still stayed under, which was really good for our side of the
counter. Yeah, it got kind of wild there at the end. And Canada now more than three decades without winning a Stanley Cup. It's incredible. Chuck, appreciate the time this week, and good luck on the game tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's Chuck Esposito. Thanks, Chuck. At the Red Rock Sportsbook. Will Hill and I will be back with tip-off Thunder Pacers game six here in a few minutes.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
About 10 minutes away from tip-off, it appears, in Indianapolis. Pacers trying to stay alive in the NBA Finals tonight, down 3-2. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander looks like he's going to be the MVP of the Finals. In the five games so far, he scored 31, 35, 24, 34, and 38 points. Well, it would be stunning, I think, if he does not win the Finals MVP. And I know that Jalen Williams went off for 40 in that pivotal Game 5, if you want to call it that. But still, we're talking about SGA, the league MVP, who's been he's top 30 in four of the five games in this series. Would you be stunned if he does not win the MVP?
Stunned, I would.
Yeah.
And I think if the Pacers somehow rally to win, it's Siakam, which the odds indicate 13-1. At least at DraftKings here for Siakam. I mean, it's same thing with the quarterback in the Super Bowl, which I have an issue with at some points, where these voters, these writers can be lazy with it, where sometimes a defensive player or a different player deserves it, and they just default to the quarterback because the quarterback is the star. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. SGA is the star. The most important game, if the Thunder win, was game four when they were down 10 in the fourth, and they were down four with a few minutes to go, and SGA scored 15 points in that fourth quarter. So it's justified, barring a real clunker from SGA and another 40-pointer from Williams. Then we can have a conversation, but not enough that. What are we getting, 7-1 here with Williams? 5-1 with Williams? I would need double digits to even think about it. So it's not open and close here, but it's pretty close, where SGA is he's a pretty good bet, barring an Indiana comeback here, to win Finals MVP. And I think it's been a while since somebody won regular season MVP and Finals MVP, maybe one of the LeBron years. it's been quite a bit, because the year Jokic did it, you know, he won finals MVP. They screwed him and they gave it to Embiid for the regular season. Mm-hmm. I heard the stat the other day, but it's been a good 10, 12 years, I want to say, since somebody won both regular season and finals MVP.
Well, I could argue that the Joker should have won MVP this season, and not SGA, but JVT. And I talked about that topic a lot during the shows in the second half of the season, but it seemed like the media was just hell-bent on giving the MVP to someone else this year and not to Joker, and they gave it to SGA. You know, we've talked a lot about TJ McConnell. He played 22 minutes in Game 5, 8 for 14 from the field, hit 1-3, had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 18 points in that game. I wonder if we've hyped TJ McConnell a little bit too much, because now the public is all over the TJ McConnell bandwagon. It's overflowing. This from John Ewing at BetMGM. Betting the over is 5-0 on TJ McConnell's points prop in the NBA Finals. McConnell over 10.5 points is the most bet player to go over the point total in Game 6 tonight. That's at BetMGM. What could go wrong? Will, have we gotten to the point where we've hyped up O'Connell so much, and he's talked about so much here because of Tyrese Halliburton's injury, that you think maybe he comes out tonight and lays an egg?
It's certainly possible. Now, again, it comes down to, like a lot of this game, what's your handicap of Halliburton? Do you think he's going to be, you know, 70, 80% mm-hmm. and he can give you a good performance? Do you think he's going to give you 20% and basically not even be able to finish the game, or give you something similar to what he was in Game 5 when he was completely ineffective? Halliburton is the missing puzzle piece in terms of his handicap for a lot, because there's a domino effect. If he can't go, that's more McConnell, that's more Nemar, it's more everybody else. So a lot of it comes down to that. I don't have a great feel one way or another. And you and I were talking earlier, for anyone that missed the beginning of the show, any book, and there's a couple of them out there, not DraftKings, there's a couple that don't, but if any book that lets you parlay the Halliburton props under points, under rebounds, under assists, there's a heavy correlation there where he comes out, he tries to play and either re-injures it, aggravates it, or he's just not effective, and you hit them all. He's just not on the court, or he's just not any good when he is. So Halliburton is a key for this, for the handicap. In terms of the props, I know you feel this way, and I feel similarly. They can cover without a healthy and effective Halliburton. They were right in that game. It was a two-point game the other night in the fourth quarter, and Halliburton was awful offensively, defensively, turnovers, missing shots. Mm-hmm. Halliburton gave them nothing, and they were right there with 8-9 minutes to go. So they can cover without Halliburton, especially at home. But as far as the props, Halliburton is the key here to a lot of this stuff.
That's a key thing you hit on there, too, is not talked about enough, is Halliburton with that leg, with the calf and the ankle injuries, he's a liability on defense, too. So that's something Rick Carlisle's got to be monitoring, not just the points he's scoring or not scoring. It's is he getting toasted on the defensive end of the floor? I've been a big fan of TJ McConnell for a long time and thought he should be playing more minutes in this series. Thought he should have been playing in the fourth quarter a lot more in Game 5. But it's funny now because, Will, you get a little bit leery when the public is all over a player like this who nobody even considered betting really before the series. And now he's the most bet player to go over his point total tonight at BetMGM. That's TJ McConnell, 10.5 points. All right, let's hear from Rick Carlisle. Starting introductions are going on right now, so less than 5 minutes away from tip. Let's hear from Rick Carlisle about what he expects, and he expects an electric atmosphere tonight in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, we've been in this position before. We were in this position last year in the New York series. We were down 3-2, and we were coming back home. And so what we need to do is buckle down, stand strong, where we should. And I anticipate one of the best crowds in the history of Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And we got to find a way. And you know, the ultimate is to get to a Game 7. That's the ultimate privilege. It's the ultimate experience in sports. But we've got to take care of home court tomorrow to do that.
Well, how are you feeling here as we get a few minutes away from tip-off? You feel like the Pacers are going to keep this thing alive tonight, or are we going to have an NBA champion tonight?
It's a great question. I was just going to ask you the same thing, because we've talked a lot about this game, but neither of us have gone on the record and just stamped and say, hey, I think this is over. I think this is a Game 7. I like the Pacers plus the points, and I will say I'll say we get a Game 7. How about you?
That's not going to surprise me if the Pacers win tonight. Like I said, I've got Pacers plus 6.5. I like the bet a lot. Think the game's going down to the wire. I'll go with you here. I'm hoping we get a game 7, and I think the Pacers can win a tight one tonight. I want to say this game's going to be decided by 4 points either way. But I do like the Pacers' chances of winning this game, with or without Halliburton being a big producer tonight for the Pacers. Hey, let's talk about the OKC Thunder one more time here, because, well, we've talked about this. They've not been that good on the road in the playoffs, 1-8 against the spread with that fluke cover Friday night in game 4. Mark Dagno, the coach, talks about what they need to adjust offensively on the road.
Yeah, we have to play better offensively out here to win the game tomorrow. They do a great job at home. They play with a lot of energy. They really pressure. They're up the floor. And we can expect them to bring that tomorrow. And so, you know, we have to play with the requisite force in order to counter that if we want to give ourselves a chance to compete.
Again, well, if you're laying the points with the Thunder tonight, it's a team that has had trouble winning on the road, let alone covering numbers. And that was a fluke cover, just a crazy cover on Friday night when the Thunder were lucky to win the game and ended up winning by 7. With some crazy stuff that went down in the final 2 minutes of that game. How do you feel about the total tonight? Circa keeps bouncing back. It's pinballing from 222.5 to 223. What are you thinking with the total? I bet under in two games early in this series, Will, but I played under 231.5 and under 227.5 in those games, and now the total is way down to 222.5, 223.
Too much of an adjustment, I think. I mean, you think with just basic handicapping strategy, a possible game-deciding or series-deciding game, championship-deciding game, it's going to slow down, max intensity on defense, pace slows, refs let them play a little bit more physical. That being said, this is accounted for in the line, so it'd be over or nothing, but not enough for me to bet. How about you? If you had to bet it one way or another, over or under?
I'm not going to play it. I think Pacers got to try to push the pace tonight, and I'll probably play it over, but I did not play the total. I think there might be something we see in live betting where we see an opportunity to jump in maybe at a better number, or we see something in the way this game's unfolding where we see a better play. Right now, if you force me to play it, I'd play it over, but I don't have a play. So don't want to go on record with that. Start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast is your first look at today's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement. In just 15 minutes, you get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcast, or get it on the VSiN Watch app. Again, the sharpest way to start your betting day, the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. And we're about to tip off in Indiana. We come back, Will Hill and I will talk some baseball betting as well. How about the Pirates? Did they blow the lead that Paul Skeens had? Mets Braves update. And what's going on in the rest of the world of baseball? We also got a Padres Dodgers game tonight. Final game of the series in LA. We've got to tee that one up too, with the Dodgers big favorites behind Yoshinobu Yamamoto. All right. About to have tip-off in Indianapolis. Will Hill and I back with the start of NBA Finals Game 6.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tyrese Halliburton starts for the Pacers, puts on a dribbling exhibition. It looked like a Globetrotters tryout. He drives the lane, and he throws up a brick, and then he comes up limping after that. Will, that was kind of an odd play there from the Pacers point guard. Did you see that?
It was. Reminded me a little bit of Tiger Woods used to do that, where he's playing fine, he's walking fine, he hits a bad shot, and then he starts to grab at his back or grab at whatever. So, it's impossible for us to know sitting here, how hurt a player is. But like you said, looked pretty good dribbling the ball. And then he misses and he comes up lame. But my initial takeaway here, the first 4 or 5 minutes, just sloppy. Both teams look a little tight. It's choppy. Some poor shooting, some ugly misses from both sides. So Maybe some championship jitters here as we settle in. It's 4-2. OKC is going to score on this possession to make it 6-2. So a good start here early on. Low scoring start. Some misses here from both teams.
Yeah, you also, I think when you get to this point in the series, you got a lot of guys who are banged up and probably tired, right? Yeah. Fatigue might take a toll, and that's one thing. I didn't want to necessarily play the total tonight because you wonder, how tired are these teams when you get into six games deep in a series. And Pacers, like you said, don't look sharp at all here to start this game tonight. 8-2, Thunder on top. 3 minutes into it, but only 2 points for the Pacers. Not the type of start they envisioned. And it has impacted the live line a little bit here. Yeah. OKC up to a 7.5-point favorite. Totals dropped to 220.5. Money line minus 270 for OKC. And that was Jalen Williams on the drive and the dunk to make it 8-2. And that was a pathetic defensive possession for the Pacers. Will, how do you leave a guy just wide open to drive the lane for an uncontested dunk like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Just seeing the replay here. Who would step up? Turner kind of get lost in the sauce here on a screen. And then it's just a dunk where nobody is near him. Nobody can test him. Nobody can smell his breath from there. So Carlisle not happy. He calls a timeout. So 8-2 early, and we always talk about this. Maybe sit here and you stress over, when should I bet it? Should I take the 6? Should I take the 6.5? Maybe I can get a 7. I mean, the national anthem is barely even over, and you can already get an 8.5, bounces down to 7.5. So, man, these numbers do move pretty quickly. Granted, it's a 6-point lead, and that's part of it, but these numbers fluctuate, as we always talk about.
We always talk about it. You're right. And you had people racing to the window or the jumping on the app to take 5.5, 6, 6.5 with the Pacers, and right now you can grab 7.5 3 minutes into the game. Let's go to baseball here during the timeout. Paul Skeens had a 4-0 lead when we opened the show tonight. Pirates closed around minus 125 with Skeens, total of 7. It is now 4-4, Will. And what's the point you would like to make about betting bad teams like the Pirates when Skeens gets the start?
When you bet these crappy teams that have really good starters, you got to take the first 5. Scooble and the Tigers used to fall into this category. The past couple of years, the Tigers weren't a very good team really until like post All-Star break last year, where I was like, oh man, if it's 2-2 after 5, I don't like my bet. You want your refund if it's 2-2 after 5, and you want to just bet on Skeens. You don't want any part of the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning where all hell can break loose. And again, once you go in a tie game, you become a massive underdog. So when you're betting the starting pitcher on these crappy teams, Skeens, there's other examples, I'm sure here, Alcantara in past years with the Marlins, stick to the first 5. You're paying extra juice, but it's worth it.
We are talking baseball here right now. We got a couple of games to start later on the West Coast. One in Sacramento, one in L.A. We'll get to those in a minute. How about the one in Atlanta? Mets and Braves tied at 1, bottom of the 5th. But Braves have bases loaded and one out as we speak here, Will. Big moment in this game. We've been talking about the Braves, and it's such a long season that a lot of times people get impatient, right? When the Braves fall 10 games under 500, you think, when's this team going to pick it up? When are the Braves going to start winning? The Braves have started to win. They're 33-39. You got a long way to go. Will, would you think about buying the Braves to win the AL East, or Braves to be a playoff team? Because this team's got plenty of talent, and they got plenty of time to get their act together here.
Yeah, I agree with all your points, and directionally I agree 100%. As it looked like Ozuna just missed a grand slam by a couple of feet, and we were doing the game the other night where he was down 4-1. Braves were down 4-1. Same scenario. Ozuna up, bases loaded. And Ozuna cleared the bases to tie it. They won the extras. The only problem, even though I agree completely, have you looked at some of the numbers? The books are kind of on to the scent. You're not getting those astronomical payouts. I think you're getting maybe 3-1 to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Obviously better to win the division. So you're getting, quote unquote value in that. There's a plus price there, but it's still a lot of room to make up. I just think that, bottom line, the books are on to it. The books agree that the Braves are dangerous and they're being priced accordingly. Do you think there's a bet that's actually worth making, or you just think, hey, they're a team to watch, but the prices maybe aren't long enough?
I think to win the division is a tall mountain to climb, because right now the Mets got 45 wins and the Braves have 33. Now they can make up that ground. There's a lot of time to make up. I would rather bet on the Braves to be a playoff team. I know that you're not getting a big price on that. Like you said, 3-1 odds is not all that attractive. But I think there's a good shot we're going to see the Braves as a playoff team when the smoke clears here, because they're getting healthy. They're starting to get their act together, and they're going to dig out from that deep hole they had Doug in the first month of the season, first month, month and a half. As I'm saying that, Ozuna strikes out. Had bases loaded, one out, and Ozuna just struck out. So this is the type of game the Braves need to win tonight, though. You got to beat the Mets. Did you see Juan Soto's base-running blunder last night? We've talked about the Yankees and their poor fundamental baseball and their base-running mistakes and things like that. Did you see Juan Soto's base-running blunder?
I did. And look, that guy's a great player when he's got the bat in his hands. You get the bat out of his hands, though, base running, defense, he doesn't give you much. He is a tremendous generational hitter, just an automatic line drive almost. Just great patience, great discipline. He's incredible, and he was such a fun player to watch with the Yankees. Great 1-2 combo with Judge, just a sensational hitter. But the rest of his game is nothing special, to say the least. And you got to think about that as that contract, as he gets older and older. He's not there yet, but, boy, once he loses a little bit of the bat, he doesn't really make up for it in other areas.
No, that's going to turn out to be a bad contract. I'm glad the Yankees didn't sign Soto. I know right now they miss him. They miss his bat. In that lineup, when the Yankees just got shut out for 28, 29 straight innings. But again, $765 million over all those years for a guy who gives you nothing on defense, is a poor base runner, makes a lot of mental mistakes. I thought that's a bad contract that the Mets are going to pay for down the road. Pacers have 4 points in the first 4 minutes. Pascal Siakam now drives and scores and gets an and one. Siakam might have 5 points. He might have five of the Pacers' first seven here if he makes this free throw, and he does. How about that? An and one for Siakam. Needed a spark. Siakam gave it to the Pacers right here, Will. And they're going to follow up with a three. So it was 10-2 Thunder. It is now 10-10, just like that.
Wow, that's a quick comeback. I was just thinking about what I was going to say next year. And hey, 10-2, it's early, but hey, 8-point lead when you're the underdog, you don't want to dig yourself too big of a hole. Well, that hole is now erased. Something we haven't talked about. I'm curious what you think. We haven't mentioned this angle, and I think it's overblown at this point. David Stern's era, we would think, oh, it's going to be fixed here for a game seven. There's a conspiracy theory. Pacers are going to get all the calls. We haven't talked about that angle of it. Do you buy into that or not? Because look, it's been almost a decade since we got a game seven of the NBA Finals. Knicks Pacers went to six. Everyone would have loved the game seven. We didn't get a game seven there. So I think that angle can be overblown, but it is something that crossed my mind. Is it something that entered into your handicap at all?
No, did not really enter. If David Stern were still the commissioner, that definitely would have entered my handicap. But we've seen in different situations over and over that Adam Silver's league is different than David Stern's league. And, I thought the Knicks probably would have taken out the Pacers if David Stern were commissioner, right? How badly would Stern have wanted New York in the NBA Finals instead of Indiana if that were the case? So now I don't think about that as much anymore, the conspiracies. I know there are a lot of conspiracies floating around about the Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers after they got sold for $10 billion and the Mavericks getting the top pick in the draft and franchise valuations. There's a lot of conspiracy theories about that. Do you follow that?
No, but it crossed my mind. And by the way, you're so right. If David Stern was still the commissioner, Jalen Brunson would be shooting free throws right this second. We'd be talking about how many points Jalen Brunson would have tonight instead of Halliburton's injury. But I don't know. I thought you and I were on the same page, Dan Hurley. We didn't buy the smoke and mirrors with him with the Lakers. So I'm not naive. I don't always take this stuff at face value. I don't know where to draw the lines.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we'll give you a Halliburton update. He's played 6 minutes. He's got 1 point, 0-for-3 from the field. But the Pacers have a 15-13 lead. Pascal Siakam, nice start here if you bet his player points prop over. All the way up to 20.5 here at Circa, 21.5 at some spots. Siakam has 5 points early. Andrew Nembhard, who was a negative for the Pacers in game five, he's got 8 points already and 2 threes. So Nembhard and Siakam getting the Pacers off to a fast start here. 15-13 with 5:50 to go in the first quarter. And the live number down to 3.5. We talked about it getting up to 7.5, briefly 8.5, now down to 3.5. Well,
if you want to know where the really money's really going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every major sport. VSiN.com/subscribe.